Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pausing and taking some time to lean into the power of Christ within you so that you can champion your own personal excellence in Christ and through Christ, which is the mission statement for Edge Got In Ministries, is to champion human potential in Christ. This is the second part of a very powerful podcast. The first podcast is podcast 45. The title is How to Flip Your Suffering into Courageous Victory in Christ. This is part two of a two-part series. So I encourage you, if you have not yet listened to the first part, to do so and then join us for part two here. The learning objective for today's podcast is to understand the value and the power of suffering in Christ within, through Christ for a greater good than had the suffering not even occurred. And what we're going to do is pull back the veil to really lean into, pour ourselves into some scriptures to see how Paul suffered and had victory, how Peter suffered and had victory. And then you're going to have the opportunity to lean into some powerful scriptures to memorize so that when you are in the midst of your suffering, that you can declare, own, and activate that same resurrected spirit of Christ in your own suffering. And we'll begin today in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father God, we invite you into our lives and specifically into those dark spaces of suffering, whether it be emotional suffering, physical suffering, or spiritual suffering. We give you permission to transform our understanding of Paul's experience with suffering, Peter's experience with suffering. And may we expand our courage, which is not void of fear. There's that fear that's already there. Can I handle this? Will I be okay? We give you permission to override those fears and give us the strength and the courage to continue while we trust in you and have faith that the power of your presence in the eye of the storm is greater than the circumstance, that the deeper the suffering we might experience, that all the more we experience your presence, your counsel, and the victory that you died to give us, that all things are possible with and through you. Strengthen our weak minds and hearts that are all too often ruled by worldly ways rather than your will. Give us the strength by the power of your Spirit to be attentive. Help us today to grab the pieces of information in today's podcast that will draw us out of our suffering into that space of making it count for a greater good. Show us what that looks like, feels like, and sounds like. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today, you can hear the voice of my powerhouse co-host and co-founder of Edge Got In, Dr. Stella. I'm so happy to have you back, sister. Thank you
Yes.
for being with us on the second part of how to flip your suffering into courageous victory in Christ.
And what a beautiful, beautiful topic. I'll just say it's amazing how this is so timely with the way the world is now and how people are just ready to give up. And this is a really good encouragement and blessing that Christ laid upon your heart to share with people. And having gone through it yourself, Lauren, it's a wonderful thing that you're able to share your experience and God's word and that you used during your experience to get over it. So it's amazing.
Thank you, sister. Well, all glory to God on that one. And I do share more experiences of my own journey through suffering, through advanced cancer and divorce for 5 years of treatment and 16 chemos, 2 years of chemo, additional chemo, radiation, third degree burns on my chest, MRSA staph infection, losing my hair, eyebrows, eyelashes, breasts, the whole shazam, physical appearance, and stood before Christ. I think there's a show out there called Naked and Afraid.
You know
That's
what?
what that's what's coming up. That's what's coming up for me because I was stripped of everything and I was
But
naked
you know what?
and
God
afraid.
gave this. Like you guys haven't seen. If you haven't seen Lauren, Her hair is beautiful. Her eyebrows are beautiful. So God knew he could take her right back to her. I mean, he's like, I mean, my eyebrows are gone and I haven't gone through advanced cancer. Well, I mean, it's like,
yeah. God is good.
God is good.
There's no doubt that he does his greatest work. That's the one thing he told me. He said to me one time in severe physical suffering, he said, don't fear, lean in. Don't waste your suffering.
Yes.
Lift it up for the sake of salvation of souls. In fact, use it to deepen your prayers for those people around the world who are undergoing sufferings that I have no clue how they can get through other than the power of Christ within.
And you bring up a good point too. Sometimes we look at suffering as illness, but you're talking about double whammy by going through a divorce and suffering the experience of heartache and just feeling like life isn't worth it, and going through that with a illness is a huge burden, a huge one to bear. So
exactly, and that's why I feel like it's really important to address all the different masks and faces of suffering. Yours is yes, that was my life journey of suffering. You have a unique listeners today. Each one of you has a unique experience with suffering. There's no comparison because the ego wants to compare. Well, it's not as bad as you. Well, it's worse than yours. We instantly want to play that game. There's no comparison when it comes to suffering. It's your choice point on what do you want to do in terms of your choice to choose Christ in the midst of it. That's your sense of power. Mm-hmm. And last week we went through Jesus' experience of suffering. We also went through a section called How to Flip Suffering into the Courageous Victory of Christ with a few verses. And we ended the last podcast with what is the upside of suffering in this life as a follower of Christ. So I'll briefly go through that here to honor our time. But one, what's the upside of suffering? It produces perseverance and confidence to handle the hardship of life. It truly produces perseverance. Paul was speaking about in Corinthians, I have a thorn in my flesh. Some people said it was his eyesight. Other people said it was other things that he dealt with. But he had a thorn. He had some form of thorn. Perhaps it was an emotional temptation or physical. We don't know that. We know, though, that he cried out to be delivered from it, just as Jesus did in the garden before he went through his passion. And he came to the conclusion that I asked the Lord three times to remove this, and I can really relate to this. There was times I was suffering so bad, nights when I was, one time they accidentally gave me a double dose of the steroid. My heart was racing so hard, I was sure I was going to die that night. And I was sweating, I was bald, breastless, just in fetal position. I remember thinking, I'm going to die tonight. Dear Lord, give me the strength within. That's kind of another story, but I was strengthened. The presence of Christ came upon me and strengthened me. And I was assured that I was not going to die. So Paul experienced the same thing. He learned that with every storm, Jesus comes too. He said, you know, I've learned that his grace is sufficient, that his power is made perfect in my weakness. The weaker I am, the stronger Christ is. The more I suffered, I can assure you of this, the more intimately Christ came to me. Because I just focused and flipped. I could have resisted. I could have been angry. There was times I was angry. And then I realized my victory was in surrender, leaning in, and trusting Christ. What am I to learn? What am I to release? Give me the strength to take the next breath, to take the next step. It produces perseverance and confidence to handle hardships in life. It also gives people the opportunity to serve, comfort, and care for others. Your scriptures gives you the opportunity to serve, comfort, and care for others. It creates three. It creates perseverance, character, and hope.
Mm-hmm.
Four, it unites us to Christ's sufferings and resurrection. That's a mystery. And that gets very profound.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, the upside of suffering proves the genuineness of our faith, resulting in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. I've been claiming that I trust in Christ since I accepted Christ at 17. I've claimed that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to claim that when things are going good. Just saying.
Oh my gosh.
I praise, glory, give honor. I get, you know, love Toby Mac songs. I dance to. And when things are going great, that's easy to do. And in the midst of suffering, physical, emotional, spiritual, it gets a little thick, like a fish swimming through jello. And that takes that grace and a choice point of Jesus, meet me in the suffering.
Yeah. It self gets in the way. Yes.
The ego gets in the way. So what do the scriptures say about this? Let's lean into a little bit of Paul. So we're going to jump into the scriptures here. Again, there's a download with today's podcast, a PDF download. If you go to edgegotin.com, you'll notice a download so that you can see the notes here, or you can highlight the pieces that really resonate with you to help lighten your load and flip your definition and understanding of suffering from one of fear, trepidation, victimization, to one of courageous victory. Okay. So Paul, he wrote many of the books of the New Testament from prison, Philippians, Ephesians, I believe Colossians. He describes his suffering in detail in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. Paul refers to as many sufferings as light and momentary troubles are achieving for him an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Paul uses his sufferings to contemplate and write about the resurrected life in Christ. Not only so, but we also in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us or shame us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given this strength to us in Romans 5, 3 through 5. This is Paul that is talking about the power of suffering. There's more to it. There's 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. Praise be to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Now, this is one of the most powerful experiences of suffering, my dear brothers and sisters. Do not run from it. When you have been trained on the front lines of suffering, if you are willing, to choose Christ in the midst of it, he will position you as you move through the storm as quickly as possible. Dear God, help me not to waste this, but to help somebody else. He creates a greater good than had the suffering not even occurred. This is the hand of God. Mm-hmm. And yet we run from it. And I can assure you that the greatest remembrance of the power of Christ within us, our soul always knows, our flesh is so weak we forget, is through that experience of give back. Dear God, show me, help me to do good. Trust God.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that is a really powerful point. I know, you know, in working with cancer drugs and selling it to doctors' offices and seeing patients in chemo chairs and just seeing how that person, that chair, helped that other person in the next chair, and they built this relationship and this friendship, this bond. You see it in even situations where people have alcohol abuse or drug abuse. They build this relationship, this I can help you, and through what I'm going through, listen to what I'm going through, and what I'm going through, I can help you. That helping others is so powerful. Mm. And God gives you that's a gift from him during your suffering, that ability to say, yes, I'm going through this, but how can I help someone else go through it lighter than I am, or carry less of a burden? It's just an amazing thing. And I think we forget that, to your point, when we go through suffering, we're so focused on the moment of our suffering that, you know, my sister-in-law just recently she's very young. She's probably 40, and she's got to go through dialysis, and she fought it and she went through all these things. But in the midst of that, she's put God first. And that's why I encourage you people that are suffering to get in these groups and get to meet people and help others, because that's going to help you in the ultimate end.
Our greatest joy comes in the measure through which we serve. This is we're in this conversation, as I mentioned in the last podcast. If you claim to follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do not be surprised at the painful trials that will pop up in your life. But consider yourself fortunate when all kinds of trials come up your way. For if by faith you succeed in these trials, you will be left with the ability to endure and to help other people and assist other people. And that's where your greatest joy comes from, meaningful connections with other human beings and the ability to give back as quickly as possible this week. What if you had a mantra moving forward when any suffering popped up? Could be emotional, could be something as simple as someone said something and all of a sudden you're bumped into a place of emotional suffering. Why did they say that? That hurt me. Mm-hmm. That upset me. That made me sad. As quickly as possible, how can I flip this to a greater good, God? How can I flip this one moment to a greater good? Show me the good I can do. Trust mm-hmm. God and do good is a theme throughout the entire scriptures. All the way to the end, Jesus yes. was trusting God and doing good. When he was on the cross, what did he do? He opened up the gateways to heaven to a sinner. Today, mm-hmm. I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. He looked down from the cross and made sure that his mom was taken care of. He looked down and said, this is your mother. This is your son. Wanted to make sure. Trusting God, doing good. Trusting God and doing good. This
good
is
t-shirt. Trust God and do good.
Do good. That's it. Mm-hmm. This is the older mm-hmm. I get, and I didn't even think I'd make it to 50. Thanks be to God. They were giving me 5 years mm-hmm. at 38 years old. My kids were 8, 10, and 12. Mm-hmm. And I just celebrated my husband's birthday yesterday, and I'm 52. Thanks be to God. And I'm a grandma for the first time. My oldest daughter, who's now 20, almost 26, she's 26, going to be 26. And my children are now almost 21, 24, and 26. And this is the glory of God. Now, the doctors were telling me back then, we're going to try to get you 5 years. If I had believed that, and given power to that diagnosis, probably still wouldn't be wearing the earth suit. I have a friend who was given 6 months. She was diagnosed with advanced cancer. She was given 6 months. The doctor said, we're going to give you the summer to think about it. She went to the church. Everyone prayed over her. And the cancer had spread through her spine. It was in different areas, the breast cancer. And she had a miraculous healing. And she went back and they did another PET scan. And he said, we can't find anything. So as
God can heal you. And I think that's what happens is people don't, they just don't believe the healing can is possible.
Exactly. And I get that. I totally
get that. Yeah. Because the first thing you're going to think, and I even do it with minor things that happen, it's also too, if you've ever had a really heartbreak and you've been heartbroken, mm-hmm. at that moment, you don't care if you live or die. I mean, it's the weirdest, it's the power of love is so strong, right? Yep. And I remember going through that and I didn't even care, if I lived or died. And I think about if I had, and I've been at low points in my life. I don't like to share it, which I should share because it is a testimony for others. But I've been at very low periods of my life where I was like almost ready to give up, mm-hmm. And I look at the blessings and the fruits that I have today. And if I had given up, I would have missed out on my grandchildren. I would have missed out in the experiences in life, living in other countries. We can't let that moment and that negative thing that happens in that moment predict our future and limit what could happen in the future because we don't know. We don't know. And we have to pray for the best and let God do the rest.
Oh, that's very true. Amen to that. Well, it was mentioned in the first podcast, it's Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. One of the first scriptures God put on my heart to memorize as a teenager. I call heaven and earth as to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Now choose life. Choose life in order that you may live. That you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast for him. For this is the life and length of your days, that you may live with the Lord in the land that he's prepared for Amen. You to step into. Amen. This is, and believe me, I say this, this is a touchy topic, you guys, because everybody has
a different relationship
with suffering, believe me. And I pushed back a while and the Holy Spirit's like, you gotta speak God's word on this.
Yeah. And I think that, are speaking, maybe people haven't thought this through enough. Maybe people haven't thought through and looked at this and prayed enough on it. to understand and get this discernment, right? Because it's a discernment. It's something that has to be given to you from Christ to realize that through suffering, we do grow. Through suffering, we get to, we become closer to Him, you know. And I think that this is a really good topic because people may not realize this, and it's good.
Well, it's one of the things, you guys, we only use like what, 5 to 10% of our brains. and I often think about this. I had a friend who was suffering from stomach cancer, and it came on very, very quickly. And it was only 8 months by the time she was diagnosed. I was going through cancer at the same time. And so I was by her side quite a bit during that journey. And I remember being by her bedside 24 hours before she had passed. And she said that Jesus had been appearing to her at night. And she said, Lauren, I only way I can say is don't fear. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, she said, you always talk about you only have 5 to 10% of your brain. She's kind of joking around, but she goes, in the end, you get the whole thing.
Yes.
What didn't make sense makes sense in suffering. And she said, don't fear. She goes, don't fear suffering, because she knew I was still going through cancer. And that was one of the things that she had encouraged my heart in. Don't fear suffering. And lean in, because if you are willing and open and trusting, even though this hurts, dear God, even though I don't understand, dear God, even though this doesn't make sense to me, I am willing to trust in you anyway. Help my disbelief. I choose you anyway, to choose Christ no matter what. And I think you heard the story of your mother's passing, Dr. Stella, before we got on. And that was really powerful, just in a quick summary. Can you share just a choice for God in the midst of that?
Yeah, I used to remember the night she was passing. She suffered tremendously before she even got to the point where she was back and forth to the hospital all the time. We were always in the emergency room. We got to know the doctors and nurses very well. But none of the doctors really knew what was wrong with her. Long story, to put into a short story, she basically was in hospital at night. They said she had pancreatic cancer. She had all this fluid in her lungs. They tried to remove the fluid from her lung, punctured something. She was bleeding, irrespective of that, she was going to die that night anyway. But we're sitting in the hospital, and I said, Mom, I got to tell you, the doctors have just told me that you have pancreatic cancer. And although it sounds negative, we're going to fight this through. And she looked at me and she said, you know, whatever God wants, it's up to God. I have my trust in God, whatever He wants. And I said, well, we're going to go home tomorrow. And so that night she asked me to lift her up, she had a catheter, but wasn't, you know, her kidneys had failed. And she said, I'm just ready to go. And I'm like, I know, Mom, we're going home. And she looked at me like, no, I want to go home. I want to go, not that home. I want to go to heaven. But to be in the midst of all that suffering, your kidneys have failed, you can't breathe, you're thirsty. You know, she was thirsty. We couldn't give her water because she would choke on the water. She made a choice of, one, she didn't want to be resuscitated, which is a hard choice for me to make and her, because when she was passing, I wanted to resuscitate her. I wanted to do that. And then I thought, you know, I can't do it. I have to honor her will, and I have to honor God's will too. Right. So, but anyway, the short of it is that she still, in her last hour, leaned on Christ. And we did too. And it was difficult. And the peace that came over us, no one knows how close I was to my mother. My mother, we had a very unusual relationship. And we were so very close. But the peace that God gave me, I'm still shocked at 5 years later. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I remember you sharing with me, and that like, as I'm looking at this study, this gives you and people the opportunity to serve, comfort, and care for others. Mm-hmm. That's Mother Teresa. One time was interviewed, and they said, don't you get in despair because you can't save these people or save them from their suffering? And she looked at them just kind of with this curious, detached look. And she said, I'm not the savior. I'm simply here to remind people of how much God loves them. Amen. And will meet them and walk with them through the valley. That's yes. my role, is to let yes. them know that they are loved and that, yes. that Christ is with them. He does the rest. Yes. This is such a powerful understanding of this, and so that we don't fear, you guys. Anytime anything gets hard, believe me, when life gets hard, the first thing is we start looking around. We want to understand. We want a conclusion. We ask, why is this happening? I listened to a podcast from Joyce Myers, and she's such an on-fire preacher for the Lord. And she said something about, she goes, hey, I don't even understand how I'll send a message and all of a sudden, like, you're in the Netherlands. Like, how the heck does this What's Up app, I send a message to you and you get it? How does that happen? I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how that happens. I still don't understand how faxes work. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how a heartbeat starts and a human being starts to grow inside of another human being. I don't understand mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that I don't understand, and God does. And so it's a matter of John the Baptist prayer, Lord, I must become less so that you can become more. In my mm-hmm. lack of understanding, grant me peace to know mm-hmm. that it's enough. This is why Paul was able to say, in spite of all the lashings, all the beatings, that's why it's so powerful to just go to 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28 and read the sufferings, because he lays them out there. He was stripped, he was beaten, he was stoned. I mean, just anything you could possibly imagine physically happening. And he was able to say, these momentary trials and tribulations are achieving for me an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Guys, this isn't our home. Are you a follower of Christ? You are a pilgrim. This is not our home.
I think that's what happens. That's what happens. We think this is it.
Yeah.
And it's not it. This is but a moment.
Yep.
And if you lived as long as I am, you realize it's but a moment. I mean, I still remember when I was 20. I'm like, Jesus, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus, it is gone. And so we're to carry each other's burdens, and in this way to fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. Paul said, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And this is how much Paul knew the power of suffering. And he says, to participate in his sufferings, to become like him in his death. Why? Because he knows the closer he could become to Christ, the freer he will be.
Yes.
And so, this, and in 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 10, Paul says, hey, we are hard pressed on every side. We're crushed. We're perplexed, mm-hmm. but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down. Yes, we're struck down. Perhaps you feel struck down today. You're not destroyed. You always carry around in your body the death of Jesus, so that mm-hmm. the life of Jesus may be revealed in your body. For mm-hmm. Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And we all died. And those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Guys, Jesus died to win our hearts, yes. so that we could be his ambassadors. We don't even have any. So much is talked about rights. It's my right. It's my right to do this. Really, the Holy Spirit, when I was talking about this, said mm-hmm. to me, Lauren, you have no rights. You have one choice to choose me. You have one choice to choose me. You don't have any rights. You died. Your life is hidden in me. You are my ambassador, and I'm making my appeal through your words, through your body language, your facial expressions for my glory. It's your choice to choose me or not. That's our place. It was very, very humbling. And so our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Let's take a look real quick, in the interest of our time here. Let's take a look real quick at Peter. Peter's sufferings, okay? This is such a powerful scripture that the Lord brought into my heart at about 3 a.m. I literally was not so rocked by this as I was just 2 weeks ago. Peter, by the way, was crucified upside down. He didn't feel worthy to die in the same way that Jesus did. He was also the one who actually He ended up being crucified upside down. And he was also the one that jumped in to try to prevent Jesus' suffering, which he didn't really fully comprehend, which we don't know the power of our suffering and what Jesus is going to do. He's going to do something good. I can assure you of this. Through every moment of suffering, Jesus flipped it to do something good. In my life, and I've been working with human beings by the grace of God and the coaching and therapy capacity for over 15 years. And I've never not seen a human being who chose to lean on Christ experience the power of the rose in the midst of the thorns for a greater good that far outweighed the suffering. So here we go in Matthew 16, verses 21 through 33. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 33. Let us hear the word of God. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer. He started explaining it. They weren't picking up on it. If you notice, as you read through the Gospels, he keeps bringing it back up patiently. They weren't picking up what he was putting down. That he must suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and raised to life. Peter, when he was explaining it to the disciples once again, this time, Peter took him aside. Jesus, can you come here for a second here? And he rebukes him. It's not like, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, we're leaning on you here. And if you check out, what'll happen to us? Because we're always self-focused, right? He began to rebuke Jesus. So Peter had a lot of fire in him. And so he's never Lord, exclamation point. There's no freaking way that I'm going to let you die on the cross. And he says, this shall never happen to you. Jesus pushes right back. And he says to him with an exclamation point to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You are a stumbling block to me. When we resist the power of Christ and trusting, leaning in, relying on the power of Christ within us, we become a stumbling block to his purposes. When we want to escape suffering, when we want to rescue other people, like in the first podcast, I was trying to protect my kids from seeing me suffer. And my mom said, why would you rob them of the opportunity to be able to see you go through hardship and suffering and have victory and choose God and still laugh and still love and not to be afraid of negative emotions? Why would you rob them of that? So Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the things in mind. You're not thinking about what God thinks about, but merely human concerns. Peter, like me, like us, wanted to protect Jesus from suffering. Why? Because he loved him and he needed to follow him and have his physical presence. He didn't understand the bigger picture of God, the bigger picture that he later understood, so much so that he spoke about suffering in 1 Peter chapter 4, or all of 1 Peter for that matter. He speaks about suffering again and again and again throughout 1 Peter and the power of suffering. He was crucified upside down. Is that not an invitation for us?
It's totally invitation. It's so powerful. And I think that whole thing where he said, get behind me, Satan, was so powerful because sometimes Satan works through people to go against God, right? And to go against the will. So sometimes
it's like Job.
It's like influences, right? He can influence that person, or he knows that person may have influence on you, so he'll work through them to get to you. Happens all the time, right? And so Jesus saw that happening, which is a lesson that we need to understand too. We need to understand that sometimes the voice that we hear from someone dear to us may not be the voice of what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And we need to go to him for the answers, not necessarily them. Because when especially when suffering's happening, you don't want your loved ones to go through that, and you want to alleviate them from that, and you want to say, I, you know, whatever I need to do, let me do it. you know, and but that's not necessarily what God may want. So always go to prayer to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
that's very, very powerful. And Peter talks about that. He says, hey guys, listen. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the body, and this is First Peter. This is after he went through his earth school lesson where Jesus rebuked him and said, hey, don't fear suffering. It is the very thing that will result in salvation of souls. Do not fear it. And he says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourselves also with this same attitude, confidence that Christ is going to do and can do a greater thing than had the suffering not even occurred. With the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. What does that mean? Whoever suffers in the body, this is Peter, whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Now, I know what that means in my life. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you? Whoever suffers emotionally is done with sin. There's a mystery. This is one of those mysteries. And this is what Mother Teresa talked a lot about, not to fear suffering. Because the very thing that rids the flesh, the deeper I suffered, the more those interior rooms in my interior castle, as St. Teresa of Avila speaks of, literally got nailed open. And I allowed Jesus into those rooms to clear out the trash. Mm-hmm. Things that made me cling to the spaces of and the things and the shiny objects of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctification happens through suffering. I am stubborn. I have my own will. I have an ego, and I will scream and yell and cling to what I think I need for my greater good rather than Christ. And suffering silenced that voice of the flesh.
And seeing other people suffer, or imagine this, not seeing anyone suffer, when it happens, you won't know how to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a lesson to us on suffering and how to suffer and how to get through it.
For Christ. With Christ, right?
And so if we don't see that and we don't acknowledge it and we take easy roads out or don't face it, mm-hmm. You know, if you don't face that thing that's causing you emotional problems, or you don't face that suffering or face any of that, you're not going to be able to let God heal you, because the healing comes through that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
as
so
well
powerful.
As provide resources for you.
Oh, yes.
For healing, because that was the other thing. When the doctors were telling me I had 5 years, I said, all right, Lord, if I'm meant to continue to witness your love and stay here, if my work's not done, basically, then send me all those resources I need to stay here. And all of a sudden, people started coming in. Strangest places. One person from Peru, another person from Canyon Ranch, from Tucson, Arizona, and started saying, listen, this kind of cancer, this is the support that's needed in your body to lower inflammation, to increase oxygenation, to balance the glucose levels. Jesus started sending me people because I asked him, you show me if I'm meant to stay here, if this is your will. So ask for the guidance that you need. It's really the crisis of suffering, and our understanding of suffering and the power of suffering as Christians. It's really a trust and faith crisis. It's really thinking, at the heart of it, God, you're not big enough to help me to have the strength to move through this. So I need to take it into my own hands, whatever it is. Or we give power to whatever it is and we look for escapes and addictive behavior. I can't handle this. And so we don't even search out those support groups and the healing that can take place. We give more authority to the suffering than we do to the solution. And Paul said, you know, 1 Peter chapter 4 is so powerful. He says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fire ordeal that's coming as a test on you, as though something strange were happening to you. So I encourage you today, don't be surprised. You guys, this is earth school. We're following Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Our leader, our Savior suffered. When we are following him. So Peter, who was crucified.
He showed us how to.
And exactly. He showed us how to.
And that's what people forget. You know, even though there were people that were not on the cross with him, his loved ones suffered with him and saw them do it. You know, saw them, that example of how to just suffering. He did the greatest suffering, right? Because his suffering saved us all.
And it was emotional.
It was emotional, abandoned. Physical, everything.
Rejected.
Rejected.
Mm-hmm. Hated. All of those things that are the emotional side. And Paul still says, rejoice in as much that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. You guys, listen, when I was going through this, the one thing I would ask is, Lord, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want that. I want at the sunset of my life to hear from Jesus Christ of Nazareth, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. So show me how to do this right. Yes. In a way that glorifies you. I'm scared to death. Show me how to do this right, so that I can honor and glorify you. So with that, we're gonna wrap things up here. This is a powerful podcast that we probably can continue to keep talking on. There are many verses. We encourage you to print out the PDF for this, because Peter talks about many other places that in 1 Peter 5:10 it says, and after you've suffered for a while, just so you know. After you've suffered for a little while, and in Dr. Stella's mom's case, a little while, I'll restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Mm-hmm. In this life, the life to come, I will be with you. Do not fear in the shadow of death. Either way, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. Mm-hmm. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned, because I will be with you. And you may have many troubles. We will. I'm confident that everyone on this call, you've had troubles, and the Lord will deliver you from them all. Mm-hmm. Increase your faith. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. He will fight your battles. You have only to be still.
And lean not onto your own understanding, because you're not going to understand it. When you get through these troubles, you're not going to understand it. I mean, you're just going to say, well, thank you, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't understand.
We don't understand a lot of things.
A lot of things.
that was Joyce Meyer's thing. I just remembered it. She said, I don't understand gravity, but I appreciate it.
I know, right?
I'm appreciating it right now. I don't understand gravity. So there's a lot of things we don't understand, you guys. Dear God, help us in our lack of understanding to have peace. Mm-hmm. The more we don't understand, the more peaceful we become. When we surrender all to you. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to really lean into the power of suffering, to not be afraid. God, help us to have so much confidence that you do your greatest work in the darkest nights, in the midst of suffering. Trust is expanded. Reliance and faith is deepened. We want more of that, God. Perhaps that's the godliness with contentment, is great gain, that we can only have contentment when we remain in you, as you mentioned, as the vine and the branch. Help us to remain in you in our suffering. And I pray for everyone who's on this call, who's listening in. Help them to remain in you, to be closer to you today than yesterday, to fear not. You are with them. You are with us. And give us the strength to rejoice that we share in your sufferings, so that we may be overjoyed and be able to be used to comfort those who are suffering in a way we can't even comprehend right now. But dear God, when people look upon our lives, may they see the trust and the faith we have during hardship, so they can remember that our confidence and our identity is in you, in you alone. So give us the grace, God, of faith and trust, to trust and to do good more today than yesterday. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, give us the grace to draw near. Make yourself present to us more today than yesterday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, God. Wonderful God.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And help us not to fear suffering. So we really encourage you to print this out. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me? I'm convinced you have suffering in some way, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Bring that before the Lord. Print this study out. Get on your knees. What is for me in this? I don't want to live my life fearing suffering. I want to be courageous. Yes, I'll feel the fear, and I will go for it anyway. I will go for you anyway, because who is it that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
He died, he suffered, and he was resurrected. So don't waste your suffering. Flip it into the lap of Christ for a greater good. Pray for those people that are suffering throughout the world. that we may be united together in Christ's suffering. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Dr. Stella, from all the way from the Netherlands.
Yes.
We're very grateful that you're here. Sleep well tonight. It's what time is it there right now?
I don't even know. 9:47.
9:47 at night. 1:47 here. There we go. Yep.
So we'll see you all next Friday with another one.
Yep.
Praise God.
Yep. Glory be to God. Enjoy your gift of life today, you guys. Visit us at edgegodin.com and champion your potential in Christ.